Good morning. I've always wondered what a chapel looked like from up here. Looks pretty strange so far. I also wanted to give my good friend Michael Siddle, Professor Mike Siddle, a break from his rotation in giving chapel, a service that he has, you know, filled faithfully all these years, as well as a lot of my other colleagues that work for hours just to present a 10-minute message for us every day. And I really appreciate that now more than ever. But the main reason I'm up here today is because I have something very important to share with all of you. And it's from the Gospel of Matthew. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This chapel was supposed to happen yesterday. So I was going to say, what happened 28 years ago today? But if you're thinking about now what happened 28 years ago yesterday, are you thinking maybe the eruption of Mount St. Helens? Well, you're close. In 4 weeks, you could say that. But on about 4 weeks before Mount St. Helens was blowing her top, there was a young woman by the name of Rosie Ruiz who was causing a lot of people to blow theirs. What did she do? Well, on April 21st, 1980, Rosie Ruiz won the Boston Marathon. As she neared the finish line, she was greeted by the roaring applause and an adoring crowd. Nobody in the crowd had ever heard of Rosie Ruiz, but she was an instant hero. They placed a laurel wreath on her head, like the tradition of the old Greek athletes. She even got a police escort up to the winner's podium. And while up there, well, she received much, much more applause from the crowd. They even chanted her name, "Rosie, Rosie." But almost immediately, doubt started to creep in over Rosie Ruiz. I mean, who is this Rosie Ruiz, people were asking. Nobody had ever heard of her. She by no means was some world-class runner of marathons, and yet she wins the Boston Marathon. And in so doing, she does so in record time. And why is she so fresh and relaxed after the race? I mean, usually after running 26 miles, 385 yards, a runner is utterly spent. But not Rosie. She's not even sweating that much, people said. So race officials started poking around and they looked at checkpoint lists. Well, records showed that Rosie never went past a single checkpoint. So they interviewed her, and she wasn't even familiar with common running terms like checkpoint or split time. Finally, some witnesses came forward, and they said that they saw a female jump out of the crowd and join the race just a half mile from the finish line. Oh, Rosie. So then the question was asked, how did she even qualify for the Boston Marathon? I mean, they don't let just anybody run in the Boston Marathon. You have to be pretty good. So they poked around some more. She allegedly qualified because she had a good showing at the New York City Marathon just a couple weeks previous. So then they investigated that race, and they found that yes, Rosie did start the race, and she finished the race. The only problem was, through a big chunk of the middle of the race, she made use of the New York City subway system. And the cheers turned to jeers. You know, when you think about it, Holy Week was something similar for Jesus, at least in one way, wasn't it? When our Lord entered Jerusalem, he was greeted with the praises from the people. They laid their coats on the ground and palm branches, and they made the way for their hero. They excitedly called him the Son of David, the one that they had always been looking for. He was the long-expected Messiah that would save his people Israel. But later in the week, we learn that he was betrayed and denied and deserted by many of those that were closest to him. And instead of a laurel wreath, his head was fitted for a crown of thorns. And instead of shouting Hosanna, like they did earlier in the week, now they were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He was mocked and taunted and blasphemed as he was nailed to the cross. The cheers had turned to jeers. And why? He had done nothing wrong. It was our sins that placed him on the cross. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do," he was referring to me just as much as those fellows who were nailing his hands and feet to the cross. Have you ever noticed in today's day and age how it's so hard to find a dependable hero? This whole thing about cheers to jeers is a recurring theme in our world, because there are those that we might admire, however they let us down. Yes, they're loved for what they do. Their talents are admired. The songs they sing, the movies they produce, the plays they make on the field, the way they lead. We may even aspire to be like them. But then they pop the balloon of our admiration and they slip up. They might cheat. They might lie to us. They might use illegal substances, allegedly. They might engage in despicable or unethical behavior. And they fall into disgrace. We have to admit that even those that seem to do no wrong, and they're so admired, and they seem to do everything right, or just the way we had hoped to do them, even they make mistakes. Even they are sinful. Martin Luther said, "I more fear what is within me than what comes from without." Even the Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And the same could be said of each of us in this gym. We're letting each other down all the time. I mean, what did I do just the other day? I forgot to drive you to church on the bus on Sunday. And thanks to Ron Rail, that got covered. And I'm really sorry. I know I inconvenienced you. And that's kind of one of the cycles of life in a Christian, isn't it? We slip up, we seek forgiveness, we endeavor to make sure it never happens again, and then inevitably we slip up and we do it again anyway. It's a recurring theme. Jesus' suffering and death on the cross took place so that you and I and all others who believe in Christ might be saved for eternal life. The cheers for the triumphant king had turned to jeers, that's true. But by the end of the week, again, those cheers or the jeers turned back to cheers of triumphant glory when he arose from the dead. And when that happened, there was no doubt who was the true victor over sin and death. Jesus truly is a hero that is actually worthy of all the praise we could possibly give him. He did everything that his Father demanded of him on this earth. He was born in a humble stable. He lived a perfect life for those 33 years. And when it came time to enter Jerusalem for that holy week, he didn't take the subway shortcut so he could avoid doing all that. He will never lie to us. He'll never cheat. He'll never fall into disgrace. And this is why we're not embarrassed about the small size of our school, for instance, or we're not ashamed of the name that's going to be written across the front of our uniform, for our baseball and softball teams today. He will never let us down. He is our Savior. He is our Good Shepherd. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, always help us to remember the great price You paid for our sinfulness, and then help us joyfully join in the cheers of Alleluia of new life in You. Amen. And let's join in the praise of this one stanza on the screen.